Hi, I'm Melanie Hamrick, and you're listening to Life Minute TV.
Renowned ballerina Melanie Hamrick has seen it all in the ballet world and lived to tell about it. Well, a variation of it. After years with the American Ballet Theatre and an injury that forced her to take 6 months off to recover, she decided to draw upon her intimate experience in the turbulent ballet world to create gripping tales that will leave you on the edge of your seat with every page turn. Her latest, the sequel to her highly acclaimed debut First Position, is called The Unraveling. The mom and partner to Mick Jagger, who encouraged her to start writing, stopped by the Life Minute Studios recently to tell us all about it and more. This is a Life Minute with author and ballerina, Melanie Hamrick. Melanie Hamrick in the house. Yay.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for joining us on Life Minute. So glad to have you here. Your second book, The Unraveling, tell us all about it.
Jocelyn was such an interesting character from First Position that it would be really fun to explore her, because she was kind of a surprise to me as she developed. In First Position, I knew who Sylvie was from the beginning, what I wanted, and Jocelyn kind of developed as I was writing the book. And so all the feedback about Jocelyn when I finished, I was like, I think I need to explore, like, who's Jocelyn? And I wanted to also share some parts of the ballet world that people don't know. It's kind of a coming of age, but not a coming of age, because she is a professional, she has her career, she's quite successful, but it's also, she's still a young woman and she's still figuring herself out and she's still going through the challenges of life. Well, everyone goes through the challenges of life at every age, but it feels sometimes harder in your, you know, the younger you are to handle the challenges.
How real life is it?
It's definitely inspired by and 100% fiction. So I do have some friends sometimes from the ballet world asking me, who are you writing about? And I'm like, no one. It's taking something that maybe very like a gentle happen and then me developing it and fictionalizing it and just having so much fun with the drama of something that might be so small and minor and then just building on it.
Everyone always thinks of ballet like, oh, you know, it's pretty and happy and everything's good, but, you know, it's a little more black swan than, you know, people realize, right?
I think there are elements that are, I mean, I looked at Black Swan as motivation because it was able to cross to mainstream media, which I think is amazing for ballet to be able to do. But I tell people, you have like five personalities or character traits put in one person, and that's what made the film so great. I write more dark. I would say it's a bit of both. Like any work environment, you're going to have ups and downs and bad days and good days. And I think that ballet is interesting because it's such a young field and ballet dancers have been really protected in a protected environment until they're young adults. And so they're kind of going through their wild phase in their 20s with a full-time job. So that's kind of like, I like to explore that and show that. Yeah.
Did you always know you wanted to be a dancer?
Since I was 7. My sister is a ballerina, so I started ballet classes when I was 5 or 6, and I think at 7 I was like, I'm gonna become a ballerina. And I could see, because of my sister, she's 5 years older, I could see where the lessons were going, not just like, okay, the first year on point is very boring and tedious, but I was like, I know what's gonna come if I just keep it up. So I got to see her as my role model and look forward to the things to come.
And what about writing? Was that something new, or did you always know you could do that as well?
It's a bit of both. I think I love reading and writing. I always had books backstage. I always read on the train. I took a writing course here and there. And then when COVID happened and theaters were shut down, it kind of was like the gift. But again, I was like, I don't know if I can do this. I needed a lot of hand-holding writing First Position. And then with The Unraveling, I felt way more confident. I still am not sure yet. When I go back and read it, I want to rewrite a lot, but every author I've met is like, oh no, that never goes away. You always want to rewrite.
That's like, what I was okay. Going to say, is the second one, do you feel as good, as powerful, as juicy as the first one?
Definitely. And I feel that I can tell in my writing I'm more confident.
Tell us about your career a little bit. You know, you went through a lot of challenges being pregnant while you were dancing. What was that like?
And it was so difficult. I won't sugarcoat it. It was extremely hard. I felt the pressure to get back really fast because there just weren't a lot of women at the time that in the company that had children. There was only 2 other women that had children. And it's such a young environment that there's always someone ready to replace you. And I kind of wanted to prove to everybody, you can come back stronger and better. You don't need to replace me with someone younger. I can still be great. I can still do this. So I really pushed myself. And I look back and I'm like, why did I do that in 3 months? I should have taken 6 months and enjoyed it more. But you always look back and wish you could have done things differently. But it was hard because I'm used to moving and dancing, and I didn't want anyone to know I was pregnant. Your first trimester, you're not feeling well. And then I wasn't telling anyone, and I was going on stage 8 shows a week. So tired and not being able to share. The whole experience, I look back and it was amazing, but I'm also like, I really put myself through an unnecessary amount with what I did.
And then 2019, you had, tell us about that.
I've been really blessed. I didn't have a lot of injuries, and I found that once I became a mother, I didn't look after myself as much. I had someone else that was more important than me in my life. I would be rushing home on my breaks to see my baby, or, you know, if I had the show, I would get there with enough time to warm up, but probably not proper time to warm up. I didn't have time anymore, or give myself time to go to physical therapy, which is what we do for maintenance. And I think it's just the wear and tear really started to catch up with me. And after you have a child, your body is not the same. Your bones are weaker, they say. And I didn't think about any of that. I just thought I was trying to be Superwoman. And I definitely started to have injuries, which I had never had before. I had been so blessed my whole time dancing. It's difficult to deal with, but again, a blessing. So when I was injured, I just got to be with my baby. Yeah. And I wouldn't have taken that time if I hadn't been injured.
And now, you know, producing as well, and you have rock ballet coming up. Tell us about that.
When I was starting to get injured, yeah, around 2019, I could feel like injuries. My body just wasn't the same. I was like, I need to plan. Like, what am I going to do? I want to be creative. I want to still be in the industry. And I was like, I want to try choreographing. Why not? And I got a great opportunity choreographing at the Marinsky. And then that ballet went to Lincoln Center with Youth America Grand Prix. And it was so much fun because to see dancers get to do something besides classical music. The Rolling Stones are such icons. The music is so iconic that, oh, it was so fun to be in the studio. It was great, but I found that writing was more my passion than choreographing. It's just different. I feel more confident choreographing words than bodies. I don't know, maybe it's too close to home as being a dancer to then choreograph on dancers. I'll do it occasionally, and I'm still excited to maybe experience it and try it, but I think my real passion is writing now.
Okay, so that came and went, the Rolling Stone themes rock ballet, right? That happened.
Yeah, and I still like do it at galas. Some of the dancers still use the piece, and I love that it's still there. There's potential that it's there, and sometimes you need to let things simmer. Like, similar with writing, I'll go back and write. Like, I'll write a sentence, and I'm like, I'm going to let that settle, and then I'm going to come back and revisit in a month and see how that feels. And I think with this, there is still potential for the ballet to grow.
And how did that come to be?
Oh, I have to say, through Youth America Grand Prix, they asked me if I would do something for, they have a children's ballet competition. That's how I got my job at ABT, through this ballet competition. She always looks after her dancers, Larissa Saveliev. And I had told her, I think I'm thinking about retiring now and kind of want to play with ballet, with choreographing. And she was like, can you choreograph for my gala? And I was like, you have a really big gala at Lincoln Center. I don't know, Larissa. And she was like, and I think you should do Rolling Stones. She really like saw this vision for me, and I'm so glad she did. And then spoke with Mick, and he was like, let's do it. And it was just a great, and it was for a good cause, like for, you know, supporting children, and everything about it felt wonderful.
So Mick, for those that don't know, she's Mick Jagger's partner. What is he really like?
I mean, funny. I think what you see is him, you know, what, very smart, very funny, dedicated to his craft, dedicated to being the best performer he can be. It's a motivation to me to see what he puts in every day to be still a great performer. And it's completely inspiring. And I think that's why with the ballet, and he was such a support for me to write my books. Like, you can do it. Yeah, you've got this. Just an all around positive.
Do you ever teach him any dance moves?
No, I feel like he needs to teach me dance moves. Like, Everyone assumes because you're a ballet dancer when you go out and people are like, do you want to go out dancing? I'm like, that's terrifying to go out dancing. I have taken me 30 years to learn my like steps. Free dance is terrifying. So I actually look to him if we're at a party or something and I'm like, what am I supposed to do? You know,
like, people that I interview a lot, they do always talk about him, that he's so inspirational, you know, the way he moves and the performance that he puts on.
It's natural, yeah. It's instinct. He's such an expert mover.
I was going to ask if he's a good dad.
He's a phenomenal dad. I can't say it enough. And my son's so lucky that I'm like, what's Dev going to do? Was performer, you know, all these things, mover, dancer, and can't say it enough. Incredible dad.
Tell me more about the book. Let's get into it a little.
What do you want to know? Like, I don't want to give too much away. So that's why I'm like, with the book, it's, I guess in the first chapter, you find out a lot of things. So this book, I would say, focuses on a side of the ballet a lot of people don't know about, that dancers have donors and sponsors. So in America, you don't have a lot of government funding for ballet companies, and you rely on private donations to keep companies afloat. And lots of times those donations will be in honor of a ballet dancer. And then in return, they maybe get tickets, they get a meet and greet with the ballet dancer. And it's quite interesting because some people take advantage of that, meeting a dancer. And for the most part, it's always very safe and secure, and it's a set time, and we're gonna take a picture, okay, you're finished. But I thought it would be fun to explore if things go wrong. What if it's not an okay situation? So that's what book two really focuses on. What if the dancers aren't as protected as they should be? You know, and so they are, thankfully, but I explored what if they're not. It's fascinating, yeah, that Europe has so much government funding. And then, you know, they choose a dancer and then sometimes you go to dinner with them and it's things like that. And you become very close with your sponsor. They're helping your career, you know. There could be a dark side. So that's what The Unraveling explores.
So why did you call it The Unraveling?
Her life is spiraling, you know, and I think a beautiful word for spiraling is unraveling. And I think of a ballet ribbon. It's like if you tie the ballet ribbon in like one pull, a little more pulls, a little more loosens, and then it just unravels. And it's like sometimes in life, one thing happens, you're like, I'm okay. And then another thing, and you're like, I'm still okay. And then another thing, and then everything just, it's like floodgates, you know. I did have the option of, I wanted second position, kind of, but then I realized I don't want people to feel they have to read first position. And I think that someone would feel that way if they saw a title second position beside a title first position.
Awesome. It's so smart that you thought to do this.
Yeah, I try to just, be creative. And book one kind of focuses on the relationships within the workplace. And I wanted to shed light on that. And I also want to try to connect with people who don't know about ballet. I don't want people to think you have to know ballet to know my books. These are things that happen, I think could happen to anybody, anywhere, any environment. So I try to do that. And ballet is just so romantic. I was surprised there aren't romance novels set in the ballet yet. Yeah. So I plan to write more and do more and hopefully create a niche romance outlet.
What does it take to be a ballet dancer?
I think you need a good support system. That's what I always tell every mom or dad who has children dancing, anyone. I say you need to be a good support system for them. It is hard. You don't go to the prom. You don't have the same college experience, and you're in a very competitive environment from a young age, like an athlete that would go to the Olympics, and there's very few jobs. And I think just to know that as a dancer or as a parent, you are there for them, and that the dancer knows there's someone's got your back outside of the world. But it takes a lot of hard work. It's not only talent. You have to work so hard. And I had a teacher correct me, like, practice makes perfect. And the teacher said to me, absolutely not. Perfect practice makes perfect. You can practice sloppy all day. It's not going to improve. Practice correctly. And I was like, and that's the mentality of ballet. Perfect practice makes perfect, not practice. It's kind of, you get a little idea of what the world is like. Right. Yeah, if the turn's not working, it's not working because you're not practicing correctly. Figure out what's wrong and practice correctly to get it right.
And you mentioned like how physicality is different now being a mom. Mm-hmm. How do you stay fit now?
Oh, I do so many things now. It's so fun. If my body gets bored, I'm like, I'm going to try Pilates today, or I'm going to do cross training, or I'm going to take yoga. I explore everything, and then occasionally I'm like, okay, I need to ballet bar because that's really what's going to do it. But I try to, I just do everything. I love going for long walks, the gym, really a bit of everything.
And your skin, I mentioned it before, it's beautiful. What are your skincare routines?
I actually have really sensitive skin. So my dermatologist, she can always tell. Her name's Dr. Libby Ree. I'll give her a shout out. Because I travel so much that, you know, the airplane affects you, your different countries, different time zones. We created like a routine because it's so specific to each person. And in the fall and winter, I'll change up my skincare routine. And then for summer, spring, I change it again because you need more hydration in different seasons. But one of my tricks is a lot of Aquaphor when I get on the airplane. I just no makeup and just put the Aquaphor on and it keeps your skin really hydrated. It's a dream.
What about your de-stress methods? Any tips for that?
Reading. Because when I'm writing, I don't read much. And so when I'm not writing, I miss reading because I don't want to be influenced by other authors or feel, wow, this book's so much better than what I'm writing. You know, and then it's already hard enough to feel confident with your words that are going out. I don't like to be influenced by what I'm reading or not feel good enough because their book's better or something. So I definitely, when I'm done with a big chunk and I'm taking a little break, like a week off just for, I'll pick up a book and read or sit in the sunshine, be with my son.
Any tips for juggling, you know, motherhood, career?
For me, it's like, take a deep breath, get some fresh air, and just do one thing at a time. Tackle one thing at a time. That's it. For me, it's like, okay, it's coffee time. Breakfast with my son. It's like just one thing at a time.
What's next for you?
I'm gonna write another book. I'm just figuring out, I think, do I want to stay in the heavy romance or do I want it to be more women's fiction? I'm playing with the ideas right now, but I'm gonna keep writing.
And are there some people in mind when you're writing, like people from your past?
There's stories in mind. Oh, I remember I heard that this thing happened to this girl. I can't use the story, but I can twist the story. You know, so definitely inspired by my years at the ballet and my sister's years at the ballet and my friend's years and hearing stories. And sometimes when I need motivation, I'll get on the phone with a friend and be like, well, what's happening at the ballet right now? Just an inspiration, or I'll watch some ballet. Like I'll watch a lot of ballet to like, and then that kind of starts, I'm remembering the pain, or I'm remembering, oh, when I danced this role, the backstage, what's happening backstage, and it just kind of motivates me and gets my creative juices flowing. Yeah.
So cool. What's your favorite comfort food?
Sushi. Like, oh, there's too many. Yeah, it's like my son's always like, you have to name three foods, and I'm like, I can't choose three foods. There's too many good foods. I'm a foodie.
What's your biggest life tip?
Maybe just one thing at a time. Life is overwhelming, and the world is overwhelming, and I think if you just put one foot in front of the other and one thing at a time and do the best you can and be a good person. But for me, it's like, just take it a little step at a time. Before I go on stage, if I was feeling anxious, I'd be like, I'm gonna do my makeup first and then I'm gonna do my hair. Don't look at, oh, I'm going on stage and I've never performed this role before and I'm so nervous. No, it's time to do my makeup and then it's time to do my hair and just go through one step at a time. So I would say that's probably my life advice.
I love it.
Thanks. Thank you for having me.
To see more of this interview, visit our website, lifeminute.tv. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast, Life Minute TV.